Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I'm here with Hannah Brown, my co-host for the And Just Like That recap. Hannah, how are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I'm great, Dan. I'm so honored to be back here to discuss AJLT with you. How are you doing?
I'm not great. I feel like I start that way every time we podcast together.
Summer is tough.
Summer's been tough. And we last recorded over a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And since then, we were at the Taylor Swift concert.
Yes.
Although not together, but we were texting about our boyfriends the whole time. Mm-hmm. Pissed at them. And then I went to Florida on a family vacation.
I went to Atlanta on a thing. Yeah.
And then I got COVID. And so I've been in a sort of fever haze. I'm better now, but I'm still a little hazy. You know, I'm no longer sick like I was. But, and I've been following all the precautions, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But it's been a little bit of a haze. So you might have to do a little bit of the heavy lifting because I was watching these episodes in a haze of in just like that.
It's like a fever dream.
Which it already feels like a fucking fever dream. Mm-hmm. And normally I watch it at least like with Matt. But we've had to separate. So I've been watching alone and I just feel like I'm Jim in the office, like looking for the camera. Like, did everyone see this?
Yes. Like, yes.
Is everyone seeing what I'm seeing? Because I believe... The most recent episode, we're going to talk about episodes 9 and 10. I believe that episode 10 was the low point of the whole series.
There was a lot going on, and primarily, I think we have to talk about Stanford photoshopped into that photo in Kyoto.
Hannah. Like, what the fuck was that? I mean, we're going to get into all of that, but first, catch me up with you. How was Atlanta?
It was great. I went to go wedding dress shopping with my aunt and my cousin, and it was really fun, and we just hung out by the pool and had, like, a relaxing, quick weekend. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you had COVID, did you turn to anyone like Carrie at that party and say, I have COVID?
It was just me in the bedroom.
Yeah,
just saying that.
To no one.
To Dorinda, basically, because I've been binging Roni. I've been binging old Roni because that's my comfort show. It's like, just Same. Put it on in the background. I've been in and out of sleep and just waking up to them arguing in the beaches of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild. And then it was so odd. I sort of feel like I might have some sort of psychic ability because I had rewatched Vanderpump Rules right before the scandal happened. Mm-hmm. And then I've been rewatching Roni right before all this mess about Bethany and Rachel and the interview that she's done. And so I don't know. I just feel like whatever the next show, that's going to be the next scandal.
Yes.
But I've been watching old Roni and it's so good. But did you listen to the interview between?
Oh, all three parts.
Crab Boil Bethany. And I'm not even over the her eating the crab on camera.
She's been putting us through a lot lately.
A lot. A lot. Like I had to wait to even listen to the interview because it was three parts. Mm-hmm. She broke up an hour interview into three parts. I was texting you.
Of course she did. We both know why.
I was texting you that we should break up this in just like that recap into 5-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm. Just get that ad money.
Just get as much ad money as possible out of a 50-minute interview. I mean, it was that actually like turned me off right away because I really do think I agree with the unionization. I've said that before. I think these reality stars, like, that's a great idea to me. And I think that message is getting lost in so much other stuff. And it's hard to feel that there's an authenticity to that message when something like the interview with Rachel is being split up so much for the ad money.
I'm tired of all of this, Dan. I have to
it's
be
a
honest.
Lot. No, and I'm tired. And by the way, just to touch on the Rachel of it all, like I want her, I just want her to get all of her stuff together and
move on.
And I want to move on from all that too.
I
want us all to kind of move on from all of it. And so I also thought it made things worse. Like I think the public reaction made things worse for her. Like it all seems so kind of, I don't know, sad. Like, I don't know. We're not experts on it, but it was fucking nuts.
Yeah. And you know what else was nuts?
What?
episodes 9 and 10 of In Just Like That.
I know. Wait, did you enjoy the Taylor Swift concert? People are probably mad that we're not getting in It Just Like That, but it was so fun, right?
I had a great time, and I told you this, you know, like I had a tense moment with Jake before the show started, and I have said this on my own show, but I just want to speak to the community. I think date nights that are like kind of high pressure, where it's like a lot of money and time was spent to plan it and make it happen, I think they are low key, like some of the, they're ripe for a fight because you're just both like, we have to have fun and
you
connect.
Have to make it perfect.
Yeah. And like, so someone's bound to snap at somebody. And, and Jake was like, you're too obsessed with getting content of you and Haim. And I was like, well, yeah.
Like content for social media.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I, again, I don't get paid for being unhinged on the internet for the most part. Bummer. If anyone wants to partner, just slide into my DMs. But I have been told on the internet that I look like a lost Haim sister, and I wanted to get that content. I dressed like them, not Taylor.
We were both like texting about how much we were mad at our boyfriends from like different parts of the venue.
I know.
Like I was so mad because we had to fly to this family vacation. Like we were on the next flight out, the first flight out in the morning. And the venue was SoFi Stadium, and the SoFi, I love that stadium. They were great and whatever. But Matt was like going to book a hotel for us to stay near the stadium so that we could just bring our luggage. And then that way we wouldn't have to deal with like post concert traffic. And cause we knew we had to turn around to go to the airport, which is right by the stadium. Mm-hmm. So then I thought he booked like, I can be a little snobbish when it comes to like hotel stay.
Accommodations.
Like a little bit. Okay. I can handle pretty. Anyway, he was being cagey about it, like leading up to the whole concert. I kept saying like, did you book a thing? Do you want me to? He's like, no, I got it. But he wouldn't say like the name of it. And then I could tell, like, I know when he was like kind of being cagey. And I think the day of, I was like, can you just text me like the hotel we're staying? So he texted me, and I don't know if I don't want to say the name, but he texted me like Holiday Inn Express or something. And I thought in my head, like, okay, a Holiday Inn Express, like, it's not great, but I can, for one night, we're barely going to be there. Yeah. I can deal with it. So then I order the Uber the day of the concert, and I type in the address for Holiday Inn Express by the airport, right? And we're driving. I keep seeing Matt look up at the Uber driver who's got the map on his phone, like, on the dashboard. And Matt's, like, looking. And then halfway, we have our luggage. We're going to the hotel with our luggage before the concert. And then I hear Matt say to the driver, oh, you have the wrong address. And then he gives the driver the new address, and the driver's like, oh, Holiday Inn Express. And Matt's like, no, it's Hollywood Way Inn Express Motel.
Oh my God.
And then I look it up and I'm like, wait, why did you try to like trick me? And then I look it up on Yelp, which is always a bad idea to look up anything on Yelp.
Yeah.
But I look it up, and it's like every picture, review, everything. It's like bed bugs, gunshots, people broke in at night.
Oh my God. There's like a needle in my pillow.
Just the most disgusting thing.
Oh my God. So you
it's
were like
there was a ghost in my room.
So it was worse than the Benton Motel from
Hannah.
Crappy
it was,
Lake.
It was worse than the Benton Motel for sure. Yeah.
I feel like you were giving Zoe Saldana in Crossroads when she walks into the motel and she's like, I'm not sleeping here. That was you.
And you know, in your head, it's kind of like what you were saying, where it's like, you want to have a good night with your significant other. Yes. And so I didn't want to have a big fight, but also I'm thinking like, I can't sleep here at all.
Yeah.
And so
what happened? Did you stay there?
I slept there.
You did it.
And then I got COVID. I don't know if it's, I think it was actually from the trip, but
you know, Florida is where you
So it's been a thing. Okay. Anyway, and just like that, people probably turned off this podcast. They're probably so fucking pissed at us. When are they going to talk about that show? I tuned in for that show.
You know what? I did feel like a negative podcast listener when I was listening to the Bethany and Rachel podcast. Cause you know, like I'm sure you've gotten reviews where people are like, God, I like the show, but there are too many ads. And they get so mad. They're like, you know, if you keep putting them ads in your show, I'm going to have to unsubscribe. And they threaten you. And you're like, bitch, I have to get paid.
I know.
And so, but I did feel like that with Bethany's show. Cause like every 2 minutes,
it was egregious.
It was an intense ad. That's like the number one podcast, Murders in Roanoke or like something like that. And I was like, I can't listen
to this. I always think it's so easy to just hit that like 30-second fast forward button.
Yeah. And I do.
Yeah. It's like, so why just
hit it like 3 times and then I'm back in the clear.
I know, but people get mad. I get it. But that's why I'm not breaking up this interview with you into 100 episodes.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome, America. okay, wait. I'm looking at the wrong notes. And just like that, episode 9.
Episode 9.
Tell me what this one was about, because I was deep in the fever haze.
Okay, it opens with...
Oh, please. See, no. I already... I'm drinking 7-Up right now, and I'm normally a Diet Coke girly, but I've gotten to be a 7-Up girly.
Because of the COVID?
Yeah, like I accidentally had it to settle my stomach, and now I'm like, oh, I love 7-Up.
Better than Diet Coke?
No.
You're like, Hannah,
shut the fuck up and get out the fuck out of here.
Leave. Oh my God.
No. No, but I like it. The thing I was interrupting you about, I'm sorry. See, the 7-Ups make me nuts. On our last recap, uh-huh. I had said that I was worried that our next episode, we'd come back and we'd never see Aiden's farmhouse.
Well, guess what?
And guess what? Never saw the fucking farmhouse.
And just like that, we got betrayed.
I'm so fucking pissed. Fucked. How could they do that to us?
Question mark. Is that a sound you just played?
Yeah, I played the scary sound effect.
Oh, yeah. It's true. It's messed up. The episode opens with they're still at Che Diaz's apartment. And Aiden's like, I've been making friends with the doorman because I'm a fancy tipper. And Gary's like, oh, no, you're not supposed to talk to anyone. And then there's a knock at the door and Aiden's in his tidy whiteies.
Shocking.
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 I literally was like, from the waist up, like he's looking damn good. But it's hard to look past the tidy whiteies.
It was just the, yeah. It was, I like a man in tidy whiteies sometimes. Yeah,
I'm into like a black boxer brief.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the whole look. I don't know if it was like the hair was kind of throwing me off a little bit.
I do think he would benefit from a shorter haircut because, you know, like I think long hair, even though like I think in theory people are like, it makes me look younger. I think sometimes it does have the opposite effect. And I think a short haircut or even a bald person, like we've talked about, is very sexy.
No, I know. And so, there was something, he kind of reminds me like almost like an older rocker kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I almost watched a lot. I was watching like like Aerosmith on screen when them in bed, you know, it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what Aerosmith, not Steven Tyler, but someone else from Aerosmith.
Like Bill Nighy in Love Actually.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the tidy whiteys and the,
to that.
It does feel like we're playing musical houses quite a bit here in apartments.
For the love of Pete. Like,
I don't really get what we're doing with these. Like, I don't get how this transpired of how we're all just hopping, bopping around.
Because Aiden's a little bitch and won't stay at Carrie's.
Fucking go in the apartment. It's enough already. Grow up.
Like, get some sage and figure it out.
Figure it the fuck out. Now Carrie's moving out of the apartment. But then also, like, why isn't Carrie giving the apartment to Miranda? I know we're going to skip to the next episode, but it's like, Miranda don't have an apartment. And so why are you giving it to that other gal who lives there, the jewelry designer?
I know, Lizette.
It seems crazy, right?
We'll get back to her, yeah.
I just feel like I'm nuts.
It's, yeah, it's, you know, classic Carrie not being that good of a friend, but living a chic lifestyle.
Yeah.
We also learned that Aiden's son, Wyatt, who's 14, fucking hates Carrie.
All the kids on this show.
They're monsters. They're menaces to society. And Aiden picks up the phone. And he's like, hey, Wyatt, my man, what's up? And he's like, hi, Dad. Yeah, I know you made it to New York. I tracked your plane. Next time, text me. Okay. And like, I'm sorry, you can cut this if you want. I think Wyatt's giving like future incel vibes. Like,
I don't even know what that means.
An involuntary celibate. It's like giving like a gamer who's like very angry and like lives in like a basement. Like, I didn't like Wyatt.
I don't like Wyatt at all.
He's mean to Carrie.
But also, does no one on the crew, they must all hate children, right?
Yeah.
Because they've never once written a child
that's likable.
That is even like remotely not a demon.
Rock is the best one.
Yeah. But like, it's like crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah.
They're all demons to their parents.
What about when Aiden was crying? And I know that was in the next episode because the son like crashed the car.
Yeah. He drunk drove because he wanted to sleep at his dad's.
Now, I'm not saying that that's not a tough spot to be in as a parent.
He broke his collarbone and his leg. Didn't get a DUI though.
Felt like Aiden's reaction was like maybe a little outsized.
I thought his kid like died.
Right.
Like I literally was like, oh my God, he like had a brain hemorrhage and like something terrible happened. He's not going to come back.
Good. I thought the same thing.
And Carrie's like, bones grow back. And he's like, I should have been there.
He was really overacting in that scene.
It was intense.
Like it was just way too much.
I should have been there.
I was like, what is happening? I thought I was watching like an SNL sketch or something. Like, I'm like, cool it. Let's just scale it back a little bit. Who was directing that episode?
I know.
No offense.
I think
I'm
it was
saying.
Michael Patrick King, I think, directed it.
I thought, okay, yeah. I know. I keep skipping in the next one every time you try to give us a recap of the...
I mean, I want to be like, not that much happened. I'll try and be fast. Seema and Ravi like fuck in an apartment that Ryan Serhant from Of Bravo fame shows them.
They're Bravo fans over there because there's been a bunch of, they threw Bethany under the bus. Yeah. They got Ryan. Wasn't there another thing? There was a Summer House reference.
Yeah. Miranda wants to get Brady to care about college and he and Lily fuck.
I actually did. That was one storyline I did like, the Lily and Brady, which maybe not be popular, but I thought that I liked that. I want them to get together.
And I really enjoyed seeing Miranda and Charlotte like being like kind of nosy. I thought it was like cute and fun, especially at that party for Herbert when they were like trying to like take turns watching Lily and Brady in the corner. And like Miranda's like, okay, well now they're just looking at their phones. So, like we could be wrong. And she's like, now they're laughing. It's unclear if they're laughing at the same thing. And I was like, oh, that like was cute. And like,
It was cute to just have Miranda and Charlotte have moments together, too, because I feel like they never have their own. Although, did you buy them being at Chipotle?
I didn't, but it made me really want Chipotle.
Oh.
When Miranda was like, you know what? Oh. The vegetarian. I'll try that. I was like, I want someone to make me a burrito right now.
She ordered two tacos, I think.
Yeah, two tacos.
I thought that was wild.
I wouldn't be full.
No. I also just, if you're going to Chipotle, like full burrito or
a bowl.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I like their salad dressing.
Yeah,
But I just don't know if I would do... two taco is like an add-on. Like, you get a bowl, and then you're like, okay, let me add the two tacos in case I want them for later.
But, like, two tacos for lunch? Mm-hmm. Be so serious.
Wait, do we know what Charlotte ordered?
I don't think Charlotte got anything.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's the scariest
another plot part. Hole.
Yeah, the least believable thing in the Chipotle
yet
scene.
Another plot hole. I swear. Ugh, that storyline with their kids, though, it was the thing that I felt like excited by, and then it just ends. Every single storyline
fizzles out,
and the next week it's gone.
I know. And basically, by the end of the episode, they were like, "We don't really want to know. Like, it's fine." Also, we had Naya fucking her way into oblivion with a guy from Tinder who looked like he could be like a side character on Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh, yeah.
And then she found out that Andre Rashad is not only with someone else already, but she is pregnant and she's like very far along. So once again, I beg of you, what is the fucking timeline of this show?
What's the timeline? And also even Naya considering like sending a gift or whatever.
And she bought them $1,000 buggy.
Like why would that wouldn't happen
that's
in
like
real
a fuck
life.
You to them. She's like, I'm a rich professor. I'll do it.
Wait, I had a question about Naya's apartment, and this might sound stupid of me because I know New York apartments are different, but Miranda couldn't use the shitter because Naya was fucking. Mm-hmm. Excuse my language.
Shitter
sounded very Ohio just then. Like, couldn't use the shitter because Naya was fucking. But no, she couldn't get through to the bathroom, and
it's in Naya's room
because there's only one bathroom, and I just kind of thought like. Naya's seemingly a successful professor. Wouldn't there at least be a half bath? Am I wrong?
You know what? That's a really good point because it's like if you have $999 to buy a fuck you buggy for your ex and his new wife or girlfriend, like why wouldn't you have like a powder room somewhere?
Just some sort of half bath.
Yeah,
like for
an extra
Miranda.
Shitter.
And then if that's the case, then why isn't Miranda saying, "Oh, Carrie, you're getting rid of your apartment. Like, how about I go there?"
Carrie's like, I think my neighbor deserves it more.
What the fuck?
Also, we found out that Anthony and Giuseppe are like actually in love because like Anthony is like, he's using me for a green card. And Giuseppe's like, my mother is from Buffalo.
His accent is aggressive.
It's like Paolo from Liz McGuire movie.
Yes,
like,
100%.
He's like, I have a dual citizenship.
Lizzie, I'm here.
Yeah. Lizzie, you look just like my old singing partner, Isabella.
Are you Isabella, Lizzie? Are you? It's a me.
Yeah, literally. It's a me.
Anthony, it's a me. I want to put it up your butt.
And no, Anthony's like, all 9 inches of you? Please. I'm a top for a reason.
It's like Joy Behar and Waluigi having sex.
It's true. It's true. You know, I have a friend whose ex looks just like Waluigi. It's like haunting.
Oh my God. Wait, Waluigi's the shorter one, right?
Waluigi's the tall.
Oh, yeah,
the
Luigi.
Wario
version
of
okay.
Luigi.
I don't know how I mixed that up. I'm a huge Nintendo junkie. I'm embarrassed.
Are you?
Yeah.
Just like the same way I'm a How I Met Your Father junkie, but I didn't know that John Corbett and Hilary Duff were dating in season 2.
Have you caught up yet?
No, but to be fair, there's like 25 episodes.
I feel like every episode of this podcast, we somehow end up talking about Hilary Duff.
Well,
It used to be Cher, but I feel like we haven't really talked much about Cher.
Or Creed. Or Nickelback.
Creed. Oh my God, wait. I just was thinking about Creed yesterday. I like found on TikTok, somebody like showed, you know, the feed showed me like a deleted scene from Scream 3. Mm-hmm. And Scream 3 opens with a Creed song. And so I think my algorithm thought like I was watching it for Creed. And so then I just started getting like Creed. I was on like Creed talk.
I didn't even know that existed.
What if I avenge? That was like the song. What's their other? What was Creed's other song?
Okay. I always confuse them with Nickelback. What's the song? It's like,
I know what it
is. I know you're wandering away.
I feel like that's Nickelback. Maybe
they're the same to me.
The Creed one was like, can you take me higher? It was like Christian rock, wasn't it?
Yeah. And same with Switchfoot.
I like legit love those bands.
What?
I like legit like those bands.
I know
like,
you do. Unironically.
I honestly like Nickelback sometimes. And that's embarrassing. Oh, I have the Keisha Dia. Okay, sorry.
Speaking of Hillary Duff, Hurricane Hillary is coming for LA. And I was like, well,
buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up. But I'm like, I'm less afraid of it because I picture a hurricane with just like Hillary Duff's face on it.
I know, so sweet.
I know. So yeah. I'm like, aw, bring it. Bring us a rainy day. We need it.
Also a good excuse for you to finally watch those episodes of How I Met Your Father.
A whole rainy day to just cozy up.
Yeah. What were we talking about before?
We were talking about, let's see.
Anthony and
Giuseppe, Waluigi fucking Joy Behar. Let's see. We find out LTW is pregnant.
The Anthony and Giuseppe stuff, like, I like it. But it happens in the next episode where they talk about like the, who's the woman and who's the man. And I always hated that stuff, but that's like such a dated thing that I remember my arch nemesis, Patty Stanger, used to do that on her show all the time where she'd sit down with a gay client and be like, who's the woman? And it was like, always drove me fucking nuts. She's like, who's fucking who? And it's like, you never ask that of the straight couple.
No, she's a menace.
She's a menace. My arch nemesis.
Yeah.
I'm starting to turn around a little bit with my feud with Melissa Joan Fart.
Wow. It only took you like 4 years.
And I'm not saying I'm fully on her side anymore because she's still up there for me.
Yeah.
But she did appear on the Lawrence Brothers podcast, which I'm sort of like low key obsessed with, even though I've never listened to a full episode, but I like their clips online.
Oh, I need to subscribe.
Yeah. I like them. And I have a crush on the middle one, Matthew Lawrence.
Oh, I was always a Joey girl.
But they were like nice. The clips that I saw, they were like being nice with each other. And I was like, oh, she seems sweet.
I have to tell you, I get to this day, and I'm sure I've said this before, I'm sorry, I am so bitter that she gets to be in the crazy Britney Spears video.
Oh, sure. And she was like, an asshole about it, too, in that whole... Because the studio wanted to rename the movie, that movie Drive Me Crazy, to Britney Spears songs, and our Melissa Joan Hart was like trying to tell the studio not to rename it after Britney's song.
I remember in the video when Britney goes, stop! And then you just see Melissa Joan Fart kind of look like, what? And I hate the look on her face in that shot. Sure. It makes me so mad. That makes Britney sense. Like, just like at the height of her totally Britney dim, like just Britneying all over the place in that cool green top. And then we have to look at Melissa Joan Fart be like aloof in the background. Like, no thanks.
I can't handle not one person being even a little bit rude to Britney Spears anymore. Like, we just need good people around her.
I know.
Justice. She's also, that video, Drive Me Crazy, like so hot in that video.
She's perfect.
I remember that green top.
It's so cool.
I think when I was a kid, I was like, oh, am I attracted to Britney Spears? And I was like, yeah, because everybody's attracted to her. Look at her.
You can't.
But
not
also,
be.
I think I just love that top so much.
It's so sparkly.
That green top was just like, that was a moment.
And that shade
somebody
of green.
Should bring that back, like as a, you know, like an homage.
Totally.
Because I feel like all those fashions are in now.
And her bangs were really cool in that video.
Yeah. What were we saying before?
Melissa Joan Fart. Importantly, Aiden's ex Kathy asks Carrie to get together. Played by Rosemary DeWitt, who I love.
And who was in the original series as a different character.
That's bizarre.
It is weird.
But I love her, and that's cool.
Do you think they would have actually met, though?
I think if I were Carrie, I would be a little more sus. Like, hey, can I ask, like, what this is about? Like, like, what do we need to talk about in person that we can't talk about on the phone?
Yeah.
Like, you know? And I probably, DMA. If I were her, I would tell Aiden, like, hey, Kathy asked me to coffee. Do you know anything about this? Like, should I be scared?
I'm starting to turn on Carrie and Aiden as a couple. Like, I wanted them together.
Is it because of Aiden crying in the car?
Yes.
You're like, fuck them.
100%.
I mean, okay. She decides at the end of the episode that she's going to get this big, gorgeous apartment that has room for Aiden and his douchey son Wyatt and his other two sons who we haven't met. And I think this is crazy. I think it's crazy.
Which part? I mean, yeah. I mean, yes, all of the course, above. But
like, I just think the time, again, we don't know what the timeline is, but like the like going from Aiden's like a little bitch and won't go in her apartment to, okay, we'll just live in hotels to, okay, we'll just live at Che Diaz's to, okay, I'll just get a giant apartment for you and your whole family because like we're going to be together forever and I'm going to get rid of the apartment that I've been obsessed with for the last 25 years.
Right.
And then give it to my neighbor instead of Miranda. Also, I was happy we got the return of Lizette because Lizette's always like in a tizzy over something. And she like at the end of the episode, like crosses paths with Carrie, like as Carrie's on her way into the building. Lizette's like, I'm really upset, okay? Because the gay guys that I sublet from are moving back in. Shit. Fuck. What am I supposed to do?
I have an apartment.
Where am I going to live? Why would anyone want to leave this place? They're going to have to drag me out of here. She's like, who would want to go? And Carrie's like, I think I would or something. Wait, what?
You're reminding me of the Brady Bunch movie where Marsha is like, my life is over. I might as well die. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Wait, what did she say? I'm something with my new boyfriend.
George Glass.
Yeah, George Glass.
Sure, Jan. Those sure movies can. Are so fucking funny. We just rewatched them recently. They're truly like the funniest things. And you know, funny. I have this idea, and I hope no one steals this idea, but I think somebody should steal it, but they need to do Brady Brides. Do you ever see that in the 80s? There was like this TV spinoff of the Brady's called Brady Brides, and I think they need to do that with the two women from the Brady Bunch movies of the 90s. Where it's like them either with their kids or getting married or whatever, but like do those two as a spinoff.
That's cute.
I know, that's a good idea.
We need it.
I know. Yeah, the Lisette, they just throw her in there. I can't tell if they like want Lisette to be a main character, if they're like, or they just like kind of throw her in there randomly sometimes. I don't know.
And she's kind of supposed to be like someone for Carrie to like mother hen on and be like, oh, she's like me like a long time ago. But like her clothes are like not as cool as I want them to be, given that she's like a jewelry designer and like a cool single girl in the city. Like, you know, sort of like Carrie's like passing the torch for her when she gives her the apartment. And like, I don't know. I just want more out of Lisette.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not, I'm not blaming the actor.
Not to go back to this, but it was such blue balls to not show us Aiden's farmhouse.
What the fuck?
Because they just kept talking about it. And I feel like that's with everything on here, it's like, it's fine if you don't want to show us Aiden's farmhouse. Like, I get that. But don't keep talking about it the whole episode before it.
Like, no, it's just messed
cut
up.
It. Like,
we thought we were going to get Hamptons content. We didn't get that.
That's the other thing, too. The Hamptons. We're never getting that, are we?
We're not getting the Hamptons. We didn't get the farmhouse. He won't shut the fuck up about the farmhouse. And stop.
And we even saw, she was like looking at pictures with the book, which she was smelling and stuff.
I know.
It's like, so don't do, so go so aggressively. Like, they should have just been like, oh, Carrie's going to the Aiden's farmhouse for the weekend.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't do, there was like plenty of dialogue about Aiden's farmhouse.
And there continues to be a lot of dialogue
and never
about the
seeing it.
Like, we can't even picture the farmhouse for Wyatt.
Out. Like, it pisses me off.
I know. It's annoying. It's annoying.
It pisses me off. Anything else from that episode 9 before we get, because I have a lot of notes on episode
10. No, I'm ready for 10.
Okay, let's take a break here. And reminding everyone, find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino. I'm going to be on tour. There are tickets left. Go to everythingiconic.com for tickets and pre-order my next book out in October. And we'll be right back. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. And we're back. Okay, episode 10, which I thought was the low point of the series. And it might have been my COVID haze.
I'm curious. Yeah, was it because we started in Coney Island seeing Steve's new spot? Here. He's clams and beers and hot dogs. Beer.
I'm a bartender. I always got beers.
I know, but didn't those beers look so crispy and refreshing?
I was too focused on everything that was happening.
I thought the weather, like that, like cozy, like yeah, you could it did smell, look like it looked like a crisp fall day where you could like smell the ocean and like drinking a beer, like all snuggly.
Yeah, he was wearing gloves, which I don't know why it was shocking.
It was to handle the clams.
There's a lot to do. This joint is old. You want a beer? I was happy though that at least we saw Aiden and Steve together because they had a relationship,
that
and
was
I was
cute.
Kind of like waiting for them to acknowledge that. I wasn't really optimistic that they would, but then they did. And then Wyatt hates Carrie, which we kind of talked about, right?
Yeah. And then he also hates his mom, sweet, sweet Kathy, because he calls... Oh, yeah. Kathy tells Carrie not to hurt Aiden in the last episode. And then Kathy calls... Wyatt calls Aiden and is like, mom's being a real dick. She threatened to take away my phone. Like, Wyatt's a monster.
I know. Also, sometimes with these kids, I don't know if it's just the show or whatever, but I keep thinking, like, my parents would have just been like, shut the fuck up. Like,
I know.
Like, I kind of think, like, why are these kids getting away with so much stuff? I don't want to be like that guy who's like, in my day. But I also kind of feel like, why is nobody telling the kids to stop being fucking assholes?
Yeah. Hey, you're being a nightmare. There's an episode of Better Things where Pamela Adlon tells, or Sam Fox, the character, tells her daughter that she's being a See You Next Tuesday. And I was like, that's like, and I'm not even a mom, but I'm just like, that's a beautiful episode of television. Cause like sometimes you just have to tell your kid they're being a fucking asshole to you and should treat you with respect.
Not abusing kids and
of course
verbally
not.
Or anything, but you can be like, don't be a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Hey, why are you being so mean to me?
Yeah. It's crazy. The one I was really happy with Charlotte. This was like the only thing I liked this episode was Charlotte's storyline because she's back at the art gallery and she's doing really well and she went out with her friends and then she tells the family when she comes home drunk, she's like, I gotta have my own life. And like, that was my favorite storyline, probably one of the best ones I think they've done.
I know.
Right.
And Charlotte sold them a like really expensive painting. So then Charlotte went out with her coworkers and her family was blowing up her phone the whole time. And so she threw her phone in a pitcher of margaritas and I was like, good for you. Bravo. Yeah.
And it also reminded me of Drunk Charlotte from the earlier series. I love Drunk Charlotte.
Me too.
You know, like just get Charlotte drunk.
I liked that when she came home drunk and everyone was mean to her, she only wanted to hang out with the dog because that's like a real mood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, LTW created this documentary that's now going to be 10 parts. Again, timeline-wise, I'm like so confused. Because even with all the work stuff, I'm like, how is Miranda, it's like an intern and then, I don't, am I being like, am I just... stupid when I'm watching these episodes, but it just feels like, when are we? I keep saying that every week.
What is happening?
Yeah. I knew LTW was working on this documentary, but it just seems like now it's 10 parts. And then, okay, so LTW, it gets pregnant.
Yes.
And then miscarries.
Yes.
And what did you make of this whole?
I really liked that she like was vocal about like having a complicated relationship to being pregnant again, where she was like, I really thought this was my time to just like have my career and get to like relax a little. And now I'm like back in like baby land and that like kind of sucks. And like, I just think that the nuance and obviously like I'm not a mom, but like, I just think the nuance of like all the feelings that come with like being pregnant or not being able to get pregnant or miscarrying, like all of that. I feel like just having an honest conversation about it on TV was cool.
I just wish the storyline, it felt so rushed.
It came and went really like, fast. That's like, my note on it. Yeah.
I kind of thought we could have explored this more before it just kind of ended.
It was like two conversations with Herbert and then it was like, just kidding. This isn't happening anymore.
And we talked about how Carrie's getting rid of the apartment. But first, before she gets rid of it, she won a raffle for a dinner at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a lot to say about this because what the fuck kind of prize is that? To me, it seems a little crazy. Like people coming into your house to make a mess. It would make more sense to me to win a dinner somewhere else,
at
right?
At that chef's restaurant, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the chef's house. Or,
right.
Or I don't know. It just seems like, especially in a place like New York, like how, if the places are small, like how are you winning a how is the raffle for 30-person dinner at your home? Like how many people have a home
that can accommodate
30 people in
here?
Well,
and I was thinking about that too with Carrie's apartment because I was like, she doesn't even have like a table. So like now does she have to rent furniture? And is like the raffle people going to do that for her? Or does she have to get her house ready for this party?
And none of it makes any
sense. It's a stressful gift.
I would hate that gift.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, let me come to your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
and win the dinner there. But it's like people coming, that's not a prize for me. People coming in my house.
I know.
And creating a big ass mess. And I don't even have room. That's 30 people. It was a 30. Wasn't that what the thing was?
16. Just a random number.
Well, it was a lot of people for a small apartment, in addition to the people who'd have to be creating the dinner.
Right. The staff.
It's like, how many people can Carrie fit in that thing?
One time I worked a catering gig like in Brentwood, and it was like a backyard wedding. And like, in theory, I was like, oh, wow, that's like really chic that like the grandma, it was at the grandma's house. And it was like, wow, the grandma has like a big enough property to have a backyard wedding, like a wedding on a tennis court. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so cool. But like, there were so many chefs and like me, like all these people like up in her house, like trying to use the bathroom, mm-hmm. figuring out where things were. And I was like, I don't think I could do that.
No, it's yeah. Yeah. I shot something here with like a full crew, and it was so stressful to me because everyone, you know, and ripping of course, everyone's respectful, you know, as they can be, but it's still when there's people kind of coming in and out, it's impossible for everyone to be, you know, and so it's just, I don't know, it seems like I would hate that. I would hate that.
Carrie seems so excited for what LTW coins the Last Supper, because it's like a farewell to the old apartment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seema saying she's in love while that man is inside of her.
What a
mood.
I
like that. I like Seema.
I like Seema a lot. And like, I think like it's really cute to see this like love story between her and Ravi after we had that like really like beautiful, painful scene where she's like, I might never find love.
Yeah. I also love when she was kind of rude to Lisette. Did you notice when she came over to Carrie's apartment? Yes. Like, Lisette was there and Seema's like, I didn't bring you food.
She was like, you can afford your own yellowtail.
She showed up in head to toe Lisa Rinna animal print. Like, yeah. Loved it.
She was like, you can leave. And Lisette's like, okay. And like puts down the kitten that Che Diaz forced upon Carrie and leaves.
I don't see Carrie as a pet owner.
I don't either. And I definitely don't see her as a cat owner.
No.
And I'm a proud cat mom, so that's not a knock on the cat community, the cat owning community. But I just don't see that for Carrie. I think she's too selfish.
When I was in college, there was this girl that I knew who her like goal or her, I don't know, life. What's the word I'm looking for? Like
life goal
was she wanted to open a cat gym. Mm. I always think of it. Like I always just think
a
of the word
gym.
A cat gym. Like, and I think they sort of have like cat cafes now and stuff. And so it was probably ahead of its time, but
yeah, but like a cat gym, like do you get like little treadmills for the cats? Like what do you do?
I don't remember the logistics of it. I just remember it was, we always would laugh about it because she wanted us to open a cat gym.
That's so
and
cute.
I just remember, all I really remember is like the term cat gym always made me laugh.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I am allergic to cats, so it is what it is. Oh. Okay, speaking of animals, let's talk about Che at the vet, shall we?
Yes.
It was a lot this week.
Yeah, Che meets this cute person named Toby and is clearly very attracted to them. And Che Diaz is like, because Toby's like, are you?
Hey, Toby, fuck off. I don't know.
Ooh, Toby. Michelle. Fuck off. Che Diaz is like, or Toby's like, oh my God, are you Che Diaz, the like amazing stand-up comedian? And Che Diaz is like, yes, I work here at this vet office. And Toby like drops off like a box of cats. And Che's like, well, I better get back into stand-up to like impress Toby so that they can come to my show.
The stand-up. Okay. I saw someone online, and forgive me, I don't have it in front of me, but I did see a tweet saying, why didn't they make Che Diaz a singer instead of a stand-up? Because Sarah Ramirez is such an incredible singer. And those stand-up scenes are tough.
They're really tough.
Really tough. At the end of this episode, it was like Che doing that stand-up where Carrie, Aiden, and Miranda go. And
They were so mean to Miranda.
So mean to Miranda.
Like, cruel, not funny.
And everyone was like, laugh. They were doing the laugh. They were all laughing like nuts. And then, so Miranda storms out. I know I'm skipping to the end, but like, Miranda storms out and Carrie and Aiden stay there. And I was like, Carrie, why are you being such an asshole? Like, you should leave too, because this person is ridiculing your friend of 100 years publicly. And obviously your friend of 100 years is upset, runs out. It's like so crazy to me that Carrie stayed and was
her.
Like, oh, I'm going to watch the rest of these stand-ups. Like, I'm sorry. There's no way that Aiden wants to sit through the rest of that stand-up night.
Exactly. Exactly. Her choices were like, hey, Aiden, we're going to go after Miranda now. Fuck this bad show. Or to be like, hey, Aiden, you can hang out by yourself and drink a beer with Steve while I leave.
I find it so wild that they stayed at that stand-up show.
I know. I know.
Not even Che was there no more. So it was like, if you were just looking at Che, then Che ran after Miranda.
Then leave.
Then you guys leave. And also the door. Why was the door Did you notice this? This like drove me nuts. Right in the front of the house.
It's always in the back.
It's always in the back. And I'm sorry. I know they wanted to like, I know they wanted to have that moment where Miranda looks at Che, but you could have had that with Miranda at the back of the club, because that's what makes logical sense of the setup of a comedy room.
I know. And there could have been just like a shaft of light that hit her in such a way where Che could have seen her from the stage.
Like, why are we putting, why is she, Miranda, she's going out the emergency exit door right behind the front of the stage. Right. It's like, that drove me nuts.
Looking at Che like, you fucking monster.
I know. And then no one, it was just, and I don't even believe that Miranda would go. Miranda hates stand-up. We know from the original series, Miranda.
How many concerts?
We saw the original series when Miranda hated the stand-up because she got ridiculed by, I forget what episode that was. But so Miranda, I don't think is going to an ex's stand-up. It's like fucking, it's, I'm pissed.
Well, and then, because Miranda gets to be in her bonnet about like how she cuts off exes because Naya says something like, well, I'm going to send this like stroller to Andre Rashad and his like new girlfriend because like, I'm not like you. I don't cut off my exes. And Miranda's like, I don't cut off my exes. And Naya's like, yeah, you do. And Carrie's like, you cut off Steve. Oh, and so Miranda's like trying to like prove herself by being like, oh, I'm going to go see Che. And then when Che
she brings
goes,
up Skipper too. Go ahead.
Yes. Up Skipper. Who's so cute.
I know. They need to bring Skipper back.
And Che goes after Miranda and like, I don't even really remember what they said. Like, I don't think they were super apologetic. And then Miranda's like, I gotta go. Like, fuck you. Gets in a cab. And then Toby's like, hey, Che, I assume that's your ex. And Che's like, and Toby's like, you want to go for a walk? And Che's like, oh yeah, fuck it all.
Yeah.
And they just walk together. I'm like, Che, like, are you going to take a minute to process like what you just did to this poor woman that you used to date for 8 months?
And I know there was a line about Che saying, I'm leaving my notebook, like, fuck all that.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking, like, I don't know. I feel like Che would have had something else to go back for in that. I'm being nitty gritty now. I know I'm being a nitpicky. But it just seemed nuts to be like, oh, well, fuck my notepad with all my musings
notes
about Miranda.
Yeah.
It just, that whole thing drove me nuts. It drove me nuts.
And the fact that all Che needed to get like motivated enough to get back into stand up was like the attention from like a hot young queer person. Like, that's all they needed. I'm like, I don't know.
Che's a menace.
Che's a menace and deeply insecure, but not so insecure that they care when they like emotionally decimate their ex-girlfriend.
I find it, yeah, crazy.
Okay, wait, we have
And
to
do you
talk-
think Aiden and Carrie enjoyed the rest of the comedy concert?
I think they're like in such like unhinged bliss at this point that they probably like genuinely thought it was like, the best comedy they had ever seen.
And wait, okay, so Carrie's in the midst of planning this dinner party though.
Yeah.
And so I don't even think that Miranda's been Carrie's friend forever. Like, there's no way Carrie in real life wouldn't not invite Miranda's ex to this small dinner
100%.
Party. And especially after Carrie's witnessing Che publicly ridicule, like publicly be an asshole about Miranda.
Monster.
And is still inviting you to this small dinner party of close friends.
Intimate gathering.
Like that, Hannah, it's like, doesn't make any sense.
To say goodbye to the apartment that you and Miranda had memories in for 25 years.
Like, I'm sorry, it's too much of a stress. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy town.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the thing when I'm watching the show. I'm like, I feel nuts because this is nuts.
Well, and then Miranda tries to like draw a healthy boundary and be like, I don't think I can be there. And Carrie's like, yes, you can. And I'm like, it's fucked up that you invited Che to begin with, to your point. And then also like, yeah, if I were Carrie, I would text Che and be like, hey, like, you really upset Miranda, like, you can't come, like, I'm sorry. Yeah. It is what it is.
I know a lot of these things, like, we're, as a viewing audience, supposed to just like, I know, let wash over us and just say it's a TV show,
let bygones be bygones.
But I'm just not in this mood. I can't do it, Hannah.
We're as heated about this as the internet is about Rachel and Bethany.
You know? We're like way more heated about this.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, God, can everyone just calm down about Rachel and Bethany? Meanwhile, we're like, how could Carrie do that to Miranda?
I'm mad about the crab boil, and I'm mad about this.
Yeah.
I'm madder than hell.
You know what I'm mad about? The fact that Carrie calls Anthony to come over so that they can drink Cosmos while she wears her pajamas with heels, which I loved, to inform Anthony that Stanford is staying in Kyoto as a monk.
I can't believe it.
And that all of the legal paperwork for their divorce is just like in a manila envelope, and Carrie like gives it to Anthony.
I took down some notes about this. Yeah. Now, I just want us to go through the logistics. Now, Stanford is in Japan. Mm-hmm. And Anthony's like, he's Japanese now? That was his, like, that was his Joey Behar moment. But so Carrie has a printed picture. Now, Stanford was a TikTok manager. Mm-hmm. That's why Stanford went to Japan, but then decided not to be a manager anymore. The client fired him, or I forget mm-hmm. what the logistics of that part are. But he found his way to the temple, wrote Carrie a note that he found peace. I'm curious, how did... So Stanford found peace and got rid of all the belongings, decided to move to Japan, become a person over there, mm-hmm. and yet somehow found a CVS and a one-hour photo station at a CVS to print the photo send Carrie. Like, I'm sorry, he got rid of all possessions, but somehow had a phone. He still had his phone.
Still had his iPhone, yeah.
Still asked one of them monks to take the photo with the phone, dressed in the outfit. Mm-hmm. Then it's pretty hard to set up a CVS photo account because you don't just go, it wasn't a disposable camera anymore.
And honestly, it's far too complicated to get pictures printed at
CVS. It's so complicated. So he would have had to set up a CVS or Walgreens photo account.
Have like a computer.
Go to a computer, yeah. Set up the account just to print this one photo to let everyone know that he's let go of all his possessions.
And that he's a monk now. And Anthony's like, this Photoshop job is crazy. Like, this is a fucking joke. And Carrie's like, it's not a joke.
I felt bad for Willie Garson. I just thought it was I am being nitpicky. That's the whole fucking show. But I feel like it's crazy.
It's wild. Like, this actor passed away really young. It's really heartbreaking. And like, okay, maybe they don't want to kill off like everybody because they already killed off Big, and to kill off Stanford
and
would be like a lot.
Samantha's missing. And
yeah,
it's like,
there's a lot.
They
of...
have to find way. It's a lot of red tape to go
yes,
through.
Yes, exactly.
But also maybe that's why we shouldn't do the fucking show. Maybe we should have just done a new show with the same actors.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, I mean,
for
no.
saying that?
No. But if I were on the other side and I saw that my photo had been photoshopped into this unhinged photo of me as a monk, I would haunt everyone who worked on it just like that and be like, how could you do this to me? Question mark.
Right. I just think there could have been, or maybe it's one thing to show the photo, but that the Photoshop job, I think, was like the most egregious part of it.
They had the intern do it on their first day. They went on Canva and they just like found the most generic photos they could find.
Oh my God. It bummed me out. It bummed me out. And it was otherwise like a beautiful moment when they were cheersing to Stanny. And like,
I know.
I thought that was like so nice. And I acknowledging him and that the character in that way, I think is beautiful. It was just the Photoshop job that I really had the most problem with. And also that it doesn't even make sense for the character. Like, it doesn't make logistical sense that he created this photo. It doesn't track with the character to me that we've known for a while.
Yep.
And so I don't know.
No sense. No sense.
What else did we get everything in here? We talked about Charlotte. We talked about Aiden crying with the phlegm on his chin. No mm-hmm. tears were coming out, but he did have a lot of phlegm on the chin.
Mm-hmm.
I should have been there.
Yeah.
And then it ends with Carrie saying, "And just like that, for the first time, I was worried."
I mean, imagine literally. Oh, and she also tells Aiden, she's like, "Hey, like, I'm leaving an empty chair for you at my dinner party in case you want to come into my apartment one more time." And he's like, "Absolutely not."
I'm sorry. Like, wouldn't he at the bare minimum be able to make it to that goddamn dinner party?
She
sold the apartment for you, or not sold it. She's given it to the jewelry gal.
Yeah.
Instead of her best friend who needs an apartment.
Yeah. Who's literally showering at like different residences because she can't get to the shower because Naya is getting dicked down.
Miranda's doing a horse bath at the Olive Garden because she don't have a bathroom. And yet Carrie's just given the apartment to Lisette, the jewelry designer.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
But so she's doing all that for Aiden and he can't even go to the goodbye dinner.
And she had a plan to literally like set up their bedroom in their new apartment so that from the dinner they could go to their new place and like spend the night together in their bedroom. And that like, I think is so romantic and sweet. Like, it's our fresh start. Like, we're officially done with this. And he wasn't going to go to the dinner party and he definitely isn't going to go now that Wyatt broke his collarbone and his leg. From drunk driving by the farm.
Aiden or Wyatt also needs to get it together. That's a whole nother thing. Like, Wyatt, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get your shit together.
I genuinely want to know. And like, I'm sorry. I think like there can always be the game that you play where it's like someone has it worse than you. Like, it's not so bad. And like, I think everyone's feelings are valid, you know? everyone's experiences.
You're about to say something really nasty. I can't wait.
It basically just like, why? Like, I want to know what you have to be this upset about, because your dad sold his company to West Elm. So like, you're very, very rich. You have two rich parents. Your mom is like a fucking sweetie who literally.
What does the mom do?
I don't know what she does, but I do know that she sat Carrie down and she said, hey, please don't use my boys for material. Especially Wyatt, my little puzzle. She's like, he's a fucking freak, but please be nice to him. And don't hurt Aiden again, because my boys are involved. And like, I really am concerned. So you have a mom, you have two parents who are fucking obsessed with you. And you have like one weekend where like your daddy is off in New York, like having a nice weekend with his girlfriend. Daddy is off in New York having a nice weekend with his girlfriend. And you like are mad at your mom because she wants to steal your phone because you're a fucking asshole. So then you drunk drive by the farm and like break your bones. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, it's not that bad. Like, I want to know, like, these what are you actually facing?
Remember back in the day, I don't even know if this show exists, but remember that show Scared Straight?
Yes. You have to send him like to like one of those studio places.
All these kids need that. Like, I feel like somebody needs to set these kids straight. Like, I just feel like they're all, who's parenting? Like, and honestly, I know the parents are all messes. So obviously, we're watching them. But somebody needs to start parenting on this show. Because all these kids are a fucking mess.
They're a mess, and they're...
I'm sorry to judge children.
But you know what?
It is what it is.
They're giving us a reason.
Yeah.
Wyatt, it's not that bad.
It's not... Wyatt, I know. And I'm too scared to even meet the other two little shits of Aiden's. Because if this is what Wyatt's like, I'm too scared.
If you have Aiden as a dad and you end up being that big of an asshole, like, I should never have kids. Like, that's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on the word daddy?
Oh,
since you used it.
I know. I can see that you were impacted by that choice of words. I mean, like, as in, like, oh, your widowed daddy went to New York for the weekend, so you want a drunk drive kind of thing. But in general, I like the word daddy in a sexual sense.
Oh, yeah.
When I see like a man of a certain age that's like very attractive, I'm like, oh, he's daddy.
So who to you is like the most daddy?
Ooh.
Celebrity wise.
Oh my God. Ooh, the guy.
You just giggled. Are you okay? Do you need a minute?
The guy who plays Dan.
Dad, turn on the fan.
The guy who plays Dan on Veep, like now that he's kind of like salt and pepper, like he's giving daddy at this age.
You know who's turned salt and peppery that I really am into is Josh Duhamel. I've always thought he was so hot.
Yes.
Always hot.
But then you saw him in Shotgun Wedding and you were like, whoa.
Yeah.
Woo!
I just had an urge to rewatch Shotgun Wedding.
That is crazy.
I know. I've been sick
it's
in bed.
COVID.
I've been sick in bed.
Yeah.
Dorinda screaming has been leading me to want to watch Shotgun Wedding.
That says something.
I know. But yeah, I find him very... That was a wild pairing, J-Lo and Josh Duhamel.
That's
which
crazy.
I know he replaced somebody in that movie.
I think he replaced Armie Hammer.
Oh, did you see Red, White, and Royal Blue?
I started it, but I still have to finish it.
Oh, I thought it was so cute. It's like very cheesy rom-com-y, but
yeah.
I loved it.
I started it like when I was in Atlanta like to go to bed, and I fell asleep, and I just haven't gotten a chance to finish, but I'm excited.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's like a Hallmark movie-ish, which I like.
Oh, please,
like
give
shiny
me
and like just...
Glossy.
Glossy and...
Yeah.
We were laughing so much because it's rated R, which it doesn't feel rated R.
That's
right?
Crazy. It seems like it's made like it's a PG-13 movie made for children.
So I read that there's a gay sex scene in it, but it's not very graphic. Like they're inside of each other, yes, but they're not. They are inside of each other, but they're not like nudity or whatever. But apparently that's what got it the rated R. But I was reading this thing with the director that said he said that he added in like F-bombs after he got the rated R. He's like, yeah, so in ADR, we like, which is post production, they added in like some F-words or whatever. But so I was watching it with that knowledge, and I didn't really hear any ADR F-words. But what I did, and I encourage people to check this out when they're watching it, the one friend of the one girl that's in it, woman, she has this moment where she says something to one of the cast members. She's like, I know you like to get dick down. And I'm pretty sure that's ADR. And I love the idea of like the movie's wrapped and they bring the actress in
to do the ADR recording.
To just say, you like to get dick down.
That's so
because
funny.
The whole movie is so squeaky clean otherwise.
That's so funny.
So I think like he, and then I was like, okay, this is like a whole big time warp thing. But then I was thinking how funny it is that the director was getting interviewed and like the director didn't want to say, oh, I added in the actress saying you like getting dick down. So he just said, oh, I added in some F-bombs.
Yeah. That's really funny. I was watching not the same at all, Insidious 2 last night. And have you seen any of the Insidious movies? Or you don't do scary?
Lately I've been getting back in them. I used to love scary, then I couldn't do it, and lately I've been sort of dipping my toe in.
Okay, so there's
but
this,
no, like, I haven't.
There's a small, like, older actress who plays Elise in Insidious, and in the second movie it opens with a flashback of, like, young Elise, like, going to the house to, like, help the little boy who, like, when he's grown up, Patrick Wilson plays him, and they used ADR to make, like, the older version of Elise's voice come out of the younger version of Elise. So she's like, hi, my name's Elise. And it's like a voice of like a 65-year-old woman coming out of like a 25-year-old actor. And it's just like shocking.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
It's shocking. And I was like, I can't get past this. Like, how can I take this seriously?
ADR is one of my favorite things ever. Same. And it happens even on reality TV.
In The Hills, it's so
apparent. Oh my God, The Hills, they do it so much.
They're like, oh my God, so how was Brody's party? And like, you can, it's so clean, it's compared like to everything else. Yeah, that you're like, that wasn't real.
Or Housewives, they do it too. Mm-hmm. They're like, so Ramona, you're an asshole. And then it just like cuts to something in the scene. And I'm like, oh, this is beautiful.
It's so good.
The idea of just like bringing reality people in to like say lines is so funny.
To make them be like, God, Ramona fucking sucks.
In rewatching Old Roni, it is really fun. Like it just, those crazy years. I forgot how good Tinsley's first season is. Like her introduction. I love Tinsley. Like I
so
really
do
loved
I.
Her. I don't know if I really appreciated her as much as I should have. Mm-hmm. I think because the other cast members are so big.
Yeah.
But I liked what she added.
And I liked that she was like a big deal, like socialite. And she was sort of like, this was like her comeback, like, and how much that stressed her out. Bethany said she wasn't a good housewife. And I'm like, hey, Bethany, why don't you eat your crab legs and shut the fuck up?
Also, Bethany was so rude the season before to Jules. Like, justice
so mean
for Jules.
Jules.
Like, I actually thought Jules, I think Jules should have come back. I don't know. I don't remember what the logistics were of what happened. But they were so rude to Jules. Like,
I think
with Jules,
just jealous of her.
The eating disorder stuff is so hard to watch for me. Like, the way that they, Bethany and even Carol at the time,
they like bully her for it.
It just, it like feels like gross to me.
And
I know
very, it's like, accusatory.
It was years ago and it was like different time or whatever, but I'm just like, oh, that stuff's hard to watch.
It is. I liked Jules. I wonder if like, I think it's like really annoying when they cut someone after only one season. Cause I'm like, they haven't done this before. Like give them a second, except for like Barbara. I was like, I don't ever have to see her again.
the one I just watched, the reunion, it was like, remember Barbara had a hot mic moment?
Yes.
And then they
about
brought
Luann's wedding.
Yeah. And they brought her in like two seasons later, mm-hmm. three seasons later. But in the season where she has the hot mic moment, it's funny at the reunion where Andy brings up, he's like, Luann, one of your friends was on hot mic moment. And Ramona's like, who, the tool girl?
And she should have been on Home Improvement.
And Ramona's not even in frame. It's just like off frame. You just hear Ramona's voice like, who, the tool girl?
That's so Valerie Cherish of her.
Oh, I love it. Hannah, any other thoughts about it? Just like that? You have to come, but next week's the finale, so we have to do the finale.
Oh my God, it's next week. Yeah, there's Samantha only one episode left.
Yeah, and I can't even
11 episodes for the season? That's so odd.
There must have been budget cuts. I believe there were budget cuts.
Because there should have been 12, right? Or 10.
Somebody told me, because I had complained publicly about them not showing the farmhouse, somebody had said on that companion podcast, I got a few messages about this. Supposedly they get into why they didn't show the farmhouse. Oh. And the messages I got, and again, I haven't listened to it, but the messages I got were basically like, oh yeah, they just, they didn't want to spend the money. And there was something about like the weather, maybe. They were like, oh, we don't feel like going to Virginia.
That was so funny.
We gotta listen to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, next week's finale and Samantha's cameo.
I'm freaking out. I'm watching the early episodes because I think I said this last time I was here. I've never watched the show like front to back.
You never have?
No, I've seen episodes like here and there, but I've never watched like chronologically. And so I'm watching it now and I just love Samantha. I think she's my favorite.
Yeah. You should. I do the recaps on the Patreon. Yeah. And it's really fun. If anyone wants to listen to it, I'm recapping from the beginning and I'm on like season three now. And it's interesting to analyze those episodes.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are, they don't always age great, but it's like, it's still so much of it feels very progressive to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of a bummer. Like seeing who Samantha was in the beginning of the show and then what she was reduced to by the second movie. It's like, I don't blame Kim Cattrall for being like, you guys, like you've made her just the most ridiculous joke of a person of all time. Like I have had enough.
You know, I'm sort of feeling like with the season two, I I'm not having as much fun with the chaos mm-hmm. as I was season one. Mm-hmm. And I almost wish Kim didn't do the... I mean, I'm glad she's getting the money, mm-hmm. and I can't wait to see it. But I do almost feel like this season is like... do you think... it's had some high moments, yeah. but I really kind of think it's like rough.
Yeah. It's a right? show where I'm on my phone a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, to be fair, that's most shows except for Roni. Roni, I put the phone down. I am on my 9th watch through, and I'm all in all the time.
I also rewatched a little Atlanta Housewives, like season Iconic. 4. And that to me, I mean, it's like such good TV. Mm-hmm. Like any scene with Kim and Nene together is like better than most things on television.
Yeah.
Like I'd put it up there with almost anything else. Like it's riveting. It's funny. There's drama. It's like got everything.
I wish Housewives were still that good, but alas.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hannah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Anything you want to say before I hit that record button again and say bid everyone adieu?
Can I tell people to follow me?
No.
Okay. Well, that's
no, please
it.
Do it.
thank you so much for having me. Y'all can follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, Hannah A. Brown 0 on TikTok. And yeah.
What was your favorite Taylor Swift song at the concert?
Oh my God.
Wait. We also have to mention Shannon Bedore was in my like area.
Oh my God, that's so shocking.
And you saw Schwartz.
And I saw Schwartz.
Oh,
and I trolled him.
What did you say to him?
I said, "Hey man, I hope you're having a better season." And I meant it in like a shady way, but I think he thought I was like being genuinely nice. He was like, "Hey, thanks." I was like, "Oh man."
Oh my God. I saw Shannon and was like scared of her because, you know, I'm not always like the biggest Shannon fan. So we didn't speak.
Was it Shannon who said, "I don't have a core"?
I don't have a core. Yeah.
Did you see her and talk to her at all?
No, I didn't say a word. I just put my head down and ran the opposite direction.
Yeah. Put your head down, got mad at Matt, and kept it moving.
I was so in my own head about that motel. That's all I could think about the whole time. I'm like, oh, fuck, we got to go to this motel.
What was your favorite song?
You know, I didn't know. I wasn't familiar with Dress.
Oh, I love that song.
And she played it, and now I'm obsessed with it.
Isn't
like
it so good?
It's so good. Yeah,
I'm a Reputation girly.
Oh, I see. That was like the one album I was kind of like not. Mm-hmm. And now I went back and listened to it. I'm like, oh, it's good. I like
it's
it.
So good. But I loved the song with the. People are gonna be like, "You're a fake fan." I know. When she's like in the witch cape, and she was like, dun, 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 and she had the little, like, they had like the glowing like pumpkin looking things in the background.
Was it like a Folklore song?
It was either Folklore. It was that's the song. It's like, "That's my man."
That's my man, Willow, right? I think it's Willow.
Yeah. I always forget the names of those because those were the two albums that I didn't really like sit down and listen to all the way through.
And I also think there's something with the brain where like the non-capitalization of the, mm-hmm. it like throws me off, or they all run together.
Yeah, they do. It's like, yeah, the songs are similar enough. Also, I loved Last Great American Dynasty. That's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so speaking of singers, I just want to let everyone know next week on the show, we have a singer, Idina Menzel. Is going to be on this podcast.
I don't want to
go. Wait, I played a Vicki Gunvalson clip. Wait.
Got a beast inside and I'm waking it up. Got a beast inside and I'm waking it up.
That's right. Adele Dazeem is going to be on Everything Iconic next week.
Diddly talented.
I conducted the interview, even though I was sick. It was over Zoom and I powered through it. And she was so lovely and I'm excited for people to hear it. So it'll be out next week. So everyone tune into that. I love you all so much for listening. Thank you, Hannah. And we'll be back next week as well. Hopefully I'm forcing you to come back for the finale. Love you. Bye.
Bye.